You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, let's learn about a new campaign that has just been launched by RNIB. It promotes the importance of accessible design, especially when it comes to things like accessing personal information. Eleanor Southwood is the chair of RNIB and joins me now. Eleanor, good to have you here. Tell us what design for everyone is all about.
Well, I suppose at its simplest level, that means that services and products are designed to be inclusive from the start. So accessibility, usability isn't something that is thought about later and retrospectively, but that when things are designed, it's with everyone in mind. Because, you know, what we know is that things that are made accessible and inclusive for blind and partially sighted people are actually more inclusive for everyone.
And we've seen that in various products. I mean, over the past couple of weeks, I've talked about on the show the new Kellogg's boxes, which, you know, allow people who have smartphones to, you know, find out the information about the product. So you walk up to a box of Cocoa Pops, it'll give you the information, not just the name of the product or the brand, but the nutritional information, that really important, hard to get to stuff on the boxes. Even a lot of sighted people can't really read because the print's so small.
That's right. There's no excuse not to know how many calories are in it now. So, yeah, so there's some great initiatives around like that. I think what we would really love is to see consistency and that people could be really confident. You know, so there's still some areas which lag a really long way behind. I think we did a survey in 2015 and 40% of people said that they never got health information in an accessible format. And I think that's a pretty basic thing to be able to know and understand your own health. You know, that is a sort of fundamental, isn't it? So it is a real concern that this is still such an issue.
Yes, one thing, not knowing how many calories are in your Cocoa Pops, but if you don't know, for example, that you've got a fungal infection or that you have to find that information out by asking someone else to read your mail, which a lot of people do, that's not great, is it? That's really not where we want to be in 2020, nor should we be.
No, absolutely. And I think a lot of that information is so private and confidential, and it should be up to people to tell who they'd like to tell rather than, exactly as you say, be forced into somebody else knowing that information about you before you do. So it might be a friend or a neighbour or a colleague or, you know, and it's just not on. So particularly with things that are, I suppose, really personal. So, for example, you know, lots of people are not the first to find out that they're pregnant because they've had to ask somebody else, you know, to look at the test. So it's one of the really interesting things we've been doing is designing a protocol for an accessible pregnancy test, and not least to prove that it can be done and that where information is so private, we just have to find a way for people to be able to access that rather than ask other people. It's just absurd. The key message is that things should be designed as inclusively as possible. So we are finding some ways to recognise this. So you'll be familiar with our See Differently Awards, which is our fabulous way annually of recognising people and products and organisations who are going the extra mile and so on. And so we're introducing a new category this year to focus on this area so that we can start recognising and really championing where this is possible, because it absolutely is possible. And our message is that it should be the norm. So we need to make sure that everyone is aware of examples that are already working really well.
Why do you think it's not the norm so far? Why aren't businesses on this already?
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? So for a lot, you know, for a number of years, we've been talking about, you know, business cases for accessibility and usability. And I think that is really true. I think it's difficult, perhaps, when there's so many other agendas competing perhaps for attention. I think sometimes accessibility inclusion slips down the agenda, sadly. I think also sometimes it's a case of organizations not knowing what to do, which is why I think showcasing great examples is so important, not just to reassure those of us who are blind or partially sighted out there struggling with inaccessible services that things, you know, can change, but also to show other organisations actually sometimes it's a lot easier and a lot cheaper than they might think.
Where does the law stand in all of this, Ellie? And is it different in each part of the UK?
Well, wouldn't it be great if there was a really straightforward law that made it really clear exactly what people should do? So the Equality Act is really helpful here in terms of what we should have equal access to. There are some limited provisions in terms of things like cash machines and so on that are part of EU law. So we're currently not quite clear how and whether the UK government will bring these in after we leave the European Union. But at the moment, there isn't actually any law governing things like pregnancy tests or other goods and services. So it's flimsier than we would like, but we do have the Equality Act, and therefore we do have a really solid foundation. England has the strongest set of laws at the moment, and there's different arrangements in the devolved nations. But I think this is really something we need to focus on from a UK-wide perspective.
So where do we find out more about the Design for Everyone campaign?
Best thing to do would be to go to our website, so rnib.org.uk, and there's be a link there to our sort of dedicated microsite with lots more information. And as the See Differently Awards sort of come loom towards us as well, I know your listeners will hear lots more on this subject.
And like Eleanor says, you can find out more about Design for Everyone by going to rnib.org.uk and visiting their microsite on the homepage of the website. This is RNIB Connect Radio.